Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's your host, Jeff Sherman.
Because I'm going to make this place yours.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Game on today on The Upswing. The business of sports comes to the show today. And just a show note here, whether you watch or listen, however you do, friendly reminder, WTMJ.com. In the upper right corner, you click on the link. You can watch the show on YouTube. You can watch all the shows on YouTube. But we just might make this a regular feature. Been having a lot of fun conversations with sports executives in the area, marketing professionals, and others, including our returning guest today, the one and only Mark Cass, the executive director of the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame and senior executive at Team Lammy. Obviously, lots of interest in the ever-changing sports and business worlds in Greater Milwaukee and across the great state of Wisconsin. So, Mark, welcome. How are you doing today?
Come back. It seems like I never left.
Right? That's right.
So it's been a week or two. It's
that's
okay.
Right.
I mean, I feel like I've left the station. I came back and they took away my key. I mean, I couldn't get in the door this morning, but no. I mean, obviously great to be back. Great to be in this new role. Great to be doing sports. I mean, what a time.
Yeah.
It's like an amazing time in sports, amazing time in this city with all that's going on. You know, it's fun. I mean, I was out at the stadium over the weekend for the Brewers and, you know, great crowds, great energy for that team. Yeah. You know, just seeing that, you know, but also watching the NBA playoffs has kind of made me sad. Has it made you sad, Jeff?
Yeah.
A little bit watching the Knicks and the Pacers going.
A little bit.
I mean,
you know,
it should have been the Bucks.
Yeah. I like to be the, you know, we can talk about it later,
right.
But I'm like, I like seeing what's happening in Cleveland. You know,
yes,
Cleveland,
yeah,
the downtown's
looks,
coming
yep,
alive.
Yeah,
I don't know
is.
If they're going to win the series. You know,
right.
They're down 3-1. They probably won't. But it's great to see that energy and that halo effect that happens
right.
In downtowns when your team
yep.
makes the second round or the
oh,
third round.
My God.
It
we
happens.
Saw it in 21, didn't we? We
yeah.
saw it was huge. But it would be nice to see the Bucks and the Knicks.
Yeah,
that would have been a great series. That
would
have been a lot of fun.
All right. Well, I want to get the recap of the big annual Packers charity softball game
right.
that was last Friday in Green Bay.
Yep.
That was a big Team Lammy event.
It was.
And Team Lammy partner Donald Driver completed a pass of
yes.
sorts, right? Kind
exactly.
of passed the torch on to the next chair of the celebrity softball game,
right.
who is?
Mr. Love, who's obviously the new quarterback of the Packers, had a great year last year. He's now getting really, really involved in the community. He's formed a new foundation to get involved. So it was kind of the handing of the torch, kind of as you said, the throwing of the pass to Jordan.
Right.
So he'll run this game for the future years. It's something that's been going on for 23 years. It went from Favre to Rodgers to Driver. I mean, everybody's had a role in it. It's a huge game up there. I was shocked, Jeff. I got
sure.
up there about 3 o'clock or so, probably a little bit before, and, you know, 6:15 was the start, only because of the rain that was coming.
Right.
At 3 o'clock, the line to get into the lot was 30 or 40 already. The line to wait for the players was like 100 already.
Jeez.
An hour before we opened up the gates, there were 300 or 400 in line outside trying to get in. It's crazy. 6,000 fans or so.
Okay.
On a Friday night, beautiful Friday night, other than the rain, they came at 8 o'clock. But, you know, we got almost all the game in. It was more about the offense. And also, I learned about rules. There aren't as many rules as I think about it. I mean, at one point, I mean, I think the offense had 9 outfielders.
Okay.
I'm not sure if those are
yeah,
really the
rules. I don't
rules
think that's
going to
pass. Yeah.
Somehow the offense won the game. I mean, how does that work? Because it's Jordan Love's team. But no, great night, great energy, and a lot of money raised.
Yeah.
And what I think is I mean, it's amazing. It's just everyone's in the stands just is happy.
Yeah.
They're happy to see these guys play there. I mean, the players are interactive. They're doing autographs. They're doing photos. They're talking to the fans. Where do you see that? I mean, it's just a great chance to interact with these players who love it. I mean, they just had a great time. It was a great event. So much fun.
Yeah, you love the community building around sports. And it was also
right.
the launch of Jordan Love's new foundation,
right.
the Hands of Love Foundation, that's going to bring awareness to mental health and suicide and work to further unite law enforcement.
Yep.
in the community in the greater Green Bay area.
Right.
So that's a wonderful launch and to use that platform. And, you know, where do you see Jordan Love's kind of marketability going
right.
now that
oh,
he's
it's
front and center?
Off the charts. And, you know, I mean, I want to step back a little bit to Driver. Obviously, for him, I think it was neat. He's run it all these years. He's come to this game. He comes back to Milwaukee a lot, really involved. So to see him there, see all he's done to hand it off to Jordan and say, hey, Jordan, kind of it's all yours. And it was also neat to hear that, you know, he reached out to Love when he was drafted and said, hey, I mean, if there's any way I can help you, please let me know. Yeah. And apparently they've been talking a lot. So to see that, but I mean, for Jordan Love off the charts, I mean, he had a great year last year, kind of a great end of the year. He's about to get a huge contract. I mean, after we saw what happened this week with the Lions, how much money that was handed out there. But, you know, kind of what I met there that night was a very humble man, very, you know, a somebody who was very involved with this, with his, with, through the other players, was very involved with the fans, and now wants to get back. So I think you're going to see him, you know, obviously, it's all about on the field, right? As long as he continues to play well on the field, which I don't see why he wouldn't, you'll see him involved in sponsorships and commercials, kind of what he wants.
Okay.
And, you know, I also see him involved in the community. I mean, the fact that he has already has a foundation, already wants to be involved in the community, obviously wants to get involved with these issues, which are good issues for Green Bay, hopefully in Milwaukee. I mean, I've seen him already in Milwaukee a couple times at the Bucks games. So I think he's going to, I mean, think about this. We could have three great quarterbacks in a row.
Yeah.
What are the odds of that?
It's great, yes. So when we come back, we'll continue conversation with Mark Cass. Playoffs, they matter. But how much and to whom? This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, the business of sports, today with Mark Cass, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame. Mark, it is Admirals playoff time, and after losing the first two games on the road, the Admirals came back. They won three in a row in 5 days on their home ice at the UWM Panther Arena to advance to the AHL Central Division Finals. Now they play tonight. They have game two on Monday at home. What's the impact of the Admirals playoffs? You know, especially with the Baird Center opening and being a partner in the Wisconsin Center District.
It's big. I mean, it's not like the NBA playoffs. I mean, let's be honest. But on the other hand, it's activity on a Wednesday night right in the heart of the city.
Yeah.
Major Goosebumps loves it, I can tell you that. They'll have a big crowd.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Trade Hotel, the all the things in kind of around there are going to see people down here because, I mean, I've said this 100 times, it's important when a team wins. And when you win in the playoffs, it's even more important, and it brings people in the energy. I mean, the Admirals got three home games. I'm sure they would have preferred to have less home games to advance.
Yeah.
But, you know, from a revenue standpoint, if John Greenberg will be honest with you, he got three home games.
Exactly.
And he made money off those three games. Not the way he wanted to go, but it worked out really well.
Well, and it builds the story arc, too, when you're able to come back like that. And it gets into the non-fan, which is important for any team, but especially
excitement
like
and energy is key, and the fact that they won these three games, the fact that they had a great year. They won, 20 in a row or 19 in a row at one point? So they had a really great year, but that energy excitement is important because it doesn't always help. Also help this year, Jeff. It helps next year.
Yeah.
And the season seats they'll sell in August and September and October are really important to a team like the Admirals to get those guaranteed seats every game. So, no, this is key. I mean, if they win this series and they move on, again, really important.
Yeah.
I mean, the longer you play, the more home games you get, the more money you make.
Yeah.
You know, and then the more shirts you sell, the more hats you sell, the more beers you sell.
Yeah.
It's just so important. That's why, you know, we'll probably talk about what happened with the Bucks. That was a big revenue hit for the Bucks.
Yeah.
Not even just on the floor, off the floor, to not advance it really hurts.
Yeah. Scheduling venues, it's one of the interesting things from the Admirals' perspective.
Yep.
Obviously, again, you have game one tonight. You got game two on Monday. Game five would come back to Milwaukee on the 26th, but there aren't any weekend games because the medical college graduation is at the UWM Panther Arena on Friday. UWM graduation is on Sunday. So to kind of schedule around that is tricky.
It is.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you're a fan, you're going to make
I think what they may lose is a little walk-up, which you may see on a Friday night or a Sunday afternoon. But again, you're going to get the fans there. You're going to get the excitement there, the energy. So it's important. So, I mean, I get it, but you got to work with what you got.
Yeah. In terms of the impact of having no Bucks playoffs in the downtown market, you know, it softens it a bit. And I think, you know, looking into next season, what are you seeing from a fan perspective and even business and sponsorship lens?
This one hurt, I'll say, because there was expectations on this team to advance further than the first round, no doubt. So not to have these games right now. I mean, it's been hard for me to watch the Knicks series on TV. It really has been.
Right.
But, you know, to see that energy we saw in 21, 22, you know, when they went a little further, obviously 23 and 24 have not worked out well for them. It hurts. It hurts the restaurants. It hurts the hotel. I mean, think about the trade. The trade for these games would be packed. So this is no doubt an economic impact off the court. For the team, right now I think there's a little bit of a kind of a ho-hum attitude, right? There's kind of, okay, we thought they were going to go further.
Right.
Are we excited about next year? I'm not really sure. You know, the thing about 21 that was great for them is they sold so many seats already for the next season throughout the playoffs, which they now don't have. Now they don't have the energy and excitement I've talked about. And they're going to have to create that. Last year they got the trade, obviously, of Lillard in September, which generated a ton of
excitement. Yeah.
What do they do this year?
Obviously, we're still locked in with two superstars, and but then you kind of you got a lot of free agents that they got to have make decisions on. You got someone like Patrick Beverley that has, you know, said, "Hey, I want to see what goes on here, but you know, I played well enough to get a little bump." Did his brand take a hit at the end of that series? Yeah. And you know, what does that mean from a marketing standpoint?
100%, 100%. He hurt his brand. There's no doubt what happened. You know, not only on the court, but then in the locker room, kind of the attitude he had and what, and the kind of fallout. And then it took him about a week to apologize. I've often said to people, I mean, kind of if you screw up, if you make a mistake, you should apologize immediately. I think the thing with Bobby Portis, which we'll talk about, was different. He came out right away and apologized. Yeah. I mean, it took him a while to apologize. He got suspended and then he apologized. You know what I'm saying? So that, I think it hurts your brand. I think, you know, when you talk about kind of what they want in terms of the locker room, in terms of the community, it didn't fit.
Yeah.
I mean, you cannot throw a ball at a fan. I don't care what they say. Right. You have to get security involved and, you know, have them removed if it's something bad. You can't do that. And then the way to treat the media, you know, just doesn't fit right here in Milwaukee or in the NBA. I thought it was a huge mistake. And a big hit on his reputation.
All right. When we come back from the break, brand building continues. We'll talk Bobby Portis and who are the Brewers' most marketable stars as the season begins. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Mark Cass joins us today, the business of sports. The Brewers are off to a 25-17 start, essentially tied for first place with the Cubs. And I always argue that, you know, baseball is kind of the perfect, let's get out and enjoy the weather sport. Yep. Obviously, wins matter, and, you know, they're way better than expected, I think, from the fans' lens early on in the season. 16th in the league in attendance, you know, almost 28,000, puts the crew kind of right in the middle of the pack, ahead of the Mets, ahead of the Twins, ahead of the White Sox, and 11 other teams.
Which is fascinating.
Really good, isn't it?
Because we are the smallest market in the major leagues, remember that? I've always been amazed. The Brewers normally are in the 12 range, kind of 10 to 12. Drawn 28 to kind of the low of the 30s. So I think they've done well. I think winning helps. April and May are their hardest months anyways because of school and because of groups. You don't get a lot of groups that come out in April and May. So I've often heard that from the team. But I think what helps the Brewers and what should help them in June and July and August is that they're winning now, which creates excitement for the team. And if they continue to win, I think they'll draw really well. And they want to draw $3 million. I mean, they always want to draw $3 million, which would be an amazing. I mean, think about that. You know, even if they end up in the 12th spot in terms of attendance, you know, the smallest market in the major leagues, they're outdrawing the Mets.
Yeah.
They're outdrawing, you know, the Marlins. Think about the Marlins crowds. And kind of like, I mean, it's kind of you and I and three other guys in those games.
A lot of leg room.
There's a lot of leg room in down there. So, I mean, to me that, I mean, the Brewers do well, but it's also more important here.
Yeah.
Because attendance in Milwaukee, as compared to attendance, you know, obviously with the Mets, is not the same just because of the media money.
Right.
There's so much more media money out in New York and media money elsewhere. So the Brewers need that attendance, and they need the revenue from us eating at the park and the shirts and the hats and everything. You know, I was out there over the weekend for Mother's Day. Huge crowd. 34,000, I think, 35,000 on Sunday. You know, I was out there for the Yankees series. Sold out. You know, so they're doing well. And I also like this new. All the teams come here every other year so that the Yankees come and the Red Sox will be here. Actually, in a couple weeks, I'm going to see the White Sox.
Okay.
I haven't seen the White Sox play in Milwaukee in I don't know how long.
Yeah. There's still a specialist to see in those teams. Yeah, I got to be there because they're not
here. I mean, I saw
the
Angels play.
Yeah.
And that was cool because of, you know, Trout and, you know, just getting to see him play was kind of cool. Getting the Yankees, I mean, to see Aaron Judge play was great because I hadn't seen him play live like that before. So I think that helps.
So is there a difference in the marketability of baseball players? Like, obviously, Lammy works with a lot of football players, a lot of celebrities. Yep. But you know, what's the key to marketing baseball players?
Yeah, it seems like they just don't have as many opportunities. I think maybe it's the length of the season, maybe the larger team they're on. I mean, it's nine players, 25. So I think maybe that's part of it. Not as many true superstars per se. Mm-hmm. I think in Milwaukee we have a number of players who've done well. You obviously have Kristen.
Yelich, Yelich is
who's had sponsored deals.
Yep.
I think in the future you'll see deals for like Adames. I mean, he seems to be an up and coming star. Contreras, again, a star right now.
Yeah.
I think some of their really young players look kind of like you and I were talking in terms of Cheerio.
Yeah.
You know, he will be a star. He could have some really good sponsorship opportunities.
Yeah.
Not not in 24, but in 25, 20, right. all depending on how he plays. I think Sal Frelick has an opportunity. But, again, they just don't seem to be as large as some of the NFL things you see and the NBA deals. I mean, think about Giannis. Think about how many times you see Giannis on a commercial as compared to the times you see, you know, somebody like Kristen Yelich on a commercial. I mean, it's just not close.
Right. And you never know. You know, does Devin Williams come back from the back injury?
Yep.
Obviously, he's a big name and someone people attach to.
All-star
so there might
player.
Be opportunities there for Devin Williams if he can come back and be successful.
You know, I think the Brewers are also trying to be more active in the community, which I think helps.
Yeah.
As their foundation, as they, you know, help the youth groups, which they do at a really good pace, get involved. I think that helps. It maybe helps draw in some of that. But again, it just is not at the level of other sports, and I'm not sure if it ever has been.
Yeah. So the 2025 NFL draft has shipped across the lake to Wisconsin in that ceremony.
Event.
That was a great event.
That,
yeah.
And then they rode all the way up to Green Bay. That was
That's
pretty
right.
cool. I'll give them credit.
Honing in on what makes it successful. We had the Lake Express on a couple weeks ago, and they kind of previewed that event. And it, you know, it's great to see. Do you think, you know, kind of going back to the Brewers point, you know, could the Packers be featured in a show like Hard Knocks, and what would that mean from a celebrity standpoint? I got some more when we come back from the break on what's happening in Hard Knocks on HBO.
Yeah, that's fun. That would be fun for us. They've never really wanted to do that, have they? They've
never.
They've always kind of shied away. I think it'd be great. I don't see it's also not a huge market. Again, as HBO, because I love Hard Knocks. I watch it every year.
Yep.
I love the inner stuff you get to see, all the conversations, the players you get to meet. I think it'd be great in Green Bay because it would show off the city.
Yeah.
It would be good. I don't know. They just never have seemed to show any interest in it at all.
So just today, HBO announced a new Hard Knocks show featuring off-season of the New York Giants.
Oh, really?
The entirely new series is different from the current Hard Knocks show.
Interesting.
Which is going to showcase teams during which usually showcase teams during the training camps and season.
Yeah.
So they're going to start with an off-season show, but then they may do something different in season. We'll talk about that.
Interesting. Love that.
After the break. Welcome back to the Upswing. The countdown clock is on in Green Bay. As Green Bay anticipates the 2025 NFL draft that's set for next April, the 24th through the 26th, projected 250,000 attendees across the three-day event, economic impact, looking at almost $100 million for the state, approximately $20 million alone in Green Bay. What do you think the statewide Milwaukee implications of the draft will be, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's huge. I think what I saw from watching the draft a couple weeks ago over in Detroit was, this is a big event. This has become a monster event. Is it Super Bowl-like? Not quite at the level, but obviously pretty close.
Yeah.
You know, it's 3 days. It's people come in. So I think the impact on Milwaukee is going to be substantial because you can't, I mean, let's be honest, you can't fit all these people in Green Bay. I mean, they can't all stay there. They can't all eat there. There's just not enough room. So
right.
I think it's going to spill over to Appleton, spill over to Oshkosh, spill over to Kohler and Sheboygan, and it's going to be Milwaukee. They're going to be sponsors. There's going to be fans who will stay in Milwaukee and who will take a bus up to Green Bay, will drive up to Green Bay for the event. I think you're going to see some events held here.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to see some of the players maybe come through here as they're drafted.
Yeah.
I think there's an opportunity, and Visit Milwaukee is all over this, to really highlight our city as a great place to stay and to hang out. I mean, you know, I mean, could there be an event at the convention center? Could there be some sort of draft event there?
Yeah.
Yes. Because it just makes sense. You know, you have something that's going on in Green Bay, but there's just, from a logistical standpoint, what I saw happen over there was it just can't fit in Green Bay. Great. I mean, this is great. I think it'll be great for Green Bay, but I think it'll be even greater for the state.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's an apples and oranges comparison a bit to compare it to the RNC.
Oh, yeah.
But the reality is, with a draft, you have a huge, huge fan base coming in where we're not going to have that for the RNC. So from the fan standpoint, we're going to need that surface area, no matter if it's Green Bay or Milwaukee or anywhere in between.
Hotels. You know, a lot of hotels and a lot of restaurants. A lot of people want to play, you know, I mean, kind of throughout the day, want to go out and play some golf, want to, you know, hang out, do stuff. So, yeah, this is a great opportunity to have an event, to have things to highlight Milwaukee, to do kind of draft events, even if you're not in Green Bay, to have a draft. Because remember, I mean, it's over three nights, so maybe one night, say, okay, I'm going to Green Bay, but you know, maybe the second and third nights, I'm going to hang out in Milwaukee at a draft event here at the Avenue.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be a big crowd here at the Avenue, because, I mean, you could have your number one pick up in Green Bay on the first night, he could be here on the second night in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a way to kind of make this all about the region, kind of as we've seen up in Kohler when we have these huge events in Kohler. It's not just about Kohler, trust me. Because I remember, I think it was 08 or so when they had one of the first events in Kohler. Actually, it was earlier than that. I took a bus up from the Hyatt, where all the media was staying for that event. They weren't staying up in Kohler for that event. They were staying at the Hyatt, which is right around the corner here, Jeff. So, impact.
It's about statewide impact, yes, for sure. All right. As an agency that works to program local content around the Packers and other teams, the NFL Network has kind of said that this season of Hard Knocks on HBO, the in-season, could focus on an entire division rather than just a single team. A, the logistics and the money around that, it's got to be crazy. But you got to think, if they're going to pick one division to focus on, the NFL North has to be number one.
Well, the Bears and the Vikings, and the Packers, the Lions,
Vikings, Aaron Jones.
I mean, the Lions story, they're obviously on the rise. The Chicago with obviously the number one pick. The Packers just have a great quarterback with Jordan Love, and then him taking over, good team on the rise. And then the Vikings. I mean, I think it would make sense. You know, good size markets with obviously, because they always look at that in terms of Chicago.
Right.
And Detroit and stuff. Yeah. So I think it's a possibility.
Yeah.
It'd be fascinating. I would love to watch it, Jeff. That sounds like fun.
And the Bears have the number one pick in Caleb Williams. And obviously, the Lions were on the 2022 Hard Knocks show, and Dan Campbell was a superstar, and he leveraged his brand.
I learned about him on that show. I never really heard much about him, and I think he's a great coach because of that show, just watching him and the way he interacted. So I think it's a great thing. Yeah. It'd be fascinating, but, you know. Boy, that'd be great to watch in Green Bay. Can you imagine the stories you'd see out of Green Bay? You know, here's Love at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Here's Love eating at a restaurant. I mean, they are part of the community.
If you had an opportunity then to kind of counsel a client who's preparing for that show, what would your advice be?
Use it as a great way for the brand. I mean, you can promote your brand tremendously on that show just to show kind of what your players are like, how you treat your players, how you treat your staff, how that works. To me, great opportunity. I mean, it should be seen. And I don't think it's always seen that way. It's seen more as, oh, my God, all these cameras are in our faces and this is a tough thing.
Yeah.
But you should see it as an opportunity. It's a great way. And the brand in Green Bay is international, and to make it even stronger would be just so much better for the team. Think about what's going to go on in Brazil.
Yeah.
Think about the number of fans who are going to go to Brazil or are already in Brazil because of that G.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that G.
And it's just such an opportunity to further personalize and humanize the players and an area, and that's what it's all about. Ultimately, you watch a show like Hard Knocks, you're probably going to watch more of the games in the future, too. So it's about building the fan base.
I mean, I think the Lions is a great example, kind of with their coach. No one knew who he was until that show. He was an NFL player, not a great player, a good player, not a great player. Now everyone knows him and thinks he's a great coach.
All right. Hoops, streaming rights, and more when we come back with Mark Cass. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ.
I smile at you, and when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right, and we're going to stand up, and then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right, and on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up, and then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing.
The business of sports with Mark Cass. This is The Upswing. Indeed, it's all about humanizing the teams to build more community, to create bigger fan bases. That's what it's all about. That was Coach Dan Adams.
I'm a little nervous hearing that, Jeff. Are you going to come over here?
I got a whole script put together, Mark, and we're just going to go, here, let's go. Let's win today.
That's right. If I don't perform well on this show, I'm going to get my kneecap knocked off. Wow, I love it. That's pressure. That's great.
So the WNBA debut last night for breakout star Caitlin Clark made her debut as point guard for the Indiana Fever. The game was on ESPN2, but also streamed live on Disney+, a service's first live sports event. Disney turned a profit in its streaming unit for the first time in the fiscal second quarter, and is like a lot of the streaming networks looking for more ways to dive in on live sports, because tier one live sports is where the revenue and the fan base is, sure. Did you watch the game? Kind of not a tough debut. She had 20 points and 10 turnovers.
Right. I did not, but I will say this. I was interested enough that I watched my phone a couple times. I checked it out. I mean, I watched it this morning on ESPN. I've never had an interest before. Not because of anything about the game. I just haven't had an interest.
Right.
But I do now. You know, she and all these great players who are now coming into the league have just made it a must watch and have changed the league. I mean, the fact that they could add charter flights as quickly as they could is a great indication of the revenue she's bringing in, she and other top players who went this year. So it's rare that you've seen a player other than like LeBron James when he came in who have changed a sport like she has.
Yeah.
And who, and kind of when I say change a sport, have elevated it so much, so quickly, and brought in so much more revenue. I mean, the fact that she has a shoe deal.
Yeah,
which is like, what is it, 8 or 9 times her salary?
Yeah,
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I mean, it's crazy. So I think that it's been so really kind of amazed by that.
Yeah, and it's great to see on the youth sports level too. As a dad of a 12-year-old who plays basketball, you know, we go to a lot of UWM women's games. We go to a lot of Marquette games, but now it's next level and it's aspirational for young athletes, and that's what we need.
Well, it'll change the sport long term, won't it? I mean, think about what kind of what he did. When I say he, I mean obviously through LeBron James, he changed a lot, going from high school to pro, and kind of what that meant to the basketball. She has done that for this sport, for women's basketball.
Yeah.
She's changed it long term. There will be more girls who will play, more women who will play, more teams will make more money, will be able to increase their salaries because of the revenue. Mm-hmm. It's all a great thing, you know. But I also was amazed. Didn't you think it's funny that her coach retired right after she left?
Yeah, right. She's like, oh, yeah, you know,
she's a legend.
Go out on top.
No doubt she's a legendary coach at Iowa, no doubt. But I thought, okay, you can't go out any more on top than that. I'm out.
Yeah. Well, as the WNBA looks for expansion and continues to kind of grow the league and the fan base, could Milwaukee be in that mix? Are there enough investors that see, all right, could we use Fiserv or another arena to hold the games?
I think it's out there because we have an NBA team. Anytime you have an NBA team, you've shown a fan support for it. You know, I don't think we're kind of on the next rung. You've already seen that come out with some of that.
Yeah.
I don't see why not. We've shown we can support an NBA team. The Bucks won an NBA title. The Bucks are successful at the gate. They've done very well here. They've been here a long time. So I think there's an opportunity there. Is it something in the short term? No, I don't think it's short term, but it could. Yeah. Again, we'll see what happens with this. Will this be a shot in the, you know, kind of one shot in the arm for the league? I don't think so. I think she has elevated for it really for a long time to come.
Okay. When we come back from the break, I want to touch on the coaching change at UW Green Bay and then look into the oldest operating speedway in the world. Right here in our backyard, talking the business of sports with Mark Cass. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, and you are listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, the business of sports today, joined by Mark Cass from the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame. Several texters and a couple callers indeed mentioning at one time the Milwaukee Does were a part of the Women's Professional Basketball League, the WBL, that played at the now UWM Panther Arena in the late 70s, 78, 79.
I do remember, I'll be honest, I do remember the team. I do remember them playing here. I remember kind of who was involved. You and I were just talking about Ann Myers.
Ann Myers
was involved. Obviously, the former Bucks coach, Larry Costello, was involved.
Yeah. So Ann Myers and her brother, Dave Myers played for the team.
Bucks. Yep. Yep. So great history. Maybe it can come back. Wouldn't it be cool? Be a lot of interest if they could pull it off.
Yeah,
without you're going to invest, right? I think you get the money.
I'm in. Jeff, the Shermans are in. Yeah, put us in.
We could call the Milwaukee Shermans. What do you think?
Done. All right. Lots of change in college hoops. Aspirationally, I've always been a fan of the statewide tournament where, you know, could we bring back Badgers, Marquette, UWM and UW Green Bay into a preseason tournament. The logistics around that are tough. The sponsorship around that is tough. But it's even more compelling now, I think, with an even brighter spotlight on UW Green Bay.
Interesting hire. One that I didn't realize he finished second last year. So that's interesting there.
Yeah.
But the thing, I don't know about you, Jeff, the thing I found fascinating was that he gets to maintain his radio job.
Yeah.
So he'll be on the air for a couple hours a day, which means you have a future as a college basketball coach.
Exactly. That's right. I may have to start a couple levels below that.
And then
you can
go to Marquette and you can be the next Shaka Smart. But I think it's a good thing. I think it's good for the league. I mean, anything that brings a spotlight on the league is good for Green Bay, good for Milwaukee, good for the whole league. So I think that's good. In terms of the tournament, I love that idea. I know there is a lot of interest in the league. I know there's some people who don't want to see it because it's, to be honest, great for Milwaukee.
Right.
It's great for Marquette.
Yeah.
Because of the risk. If you lose, you know, it's obviously a big deal. So I've not heard of it being kind of talked about right now, but it'd be great to see at some point. It really would.
I mean, as a passionate fan, it's great to see all teams getting better. And yes. I think that's what you want. Yep. That almost is as good as a tournament because when they compete and people are talking about all the teams and you have a big hire like Doug Gottlieb, who is a Milwaukee guy, right. His dad coached at UWM, brings back the spotlight to college hoops and teams that are already successful.
How great was it kind of for this year when you had so much success over at Marquette? I mean, it was a great year. But you had all the energy and excitement over at Milwaukee through Coach Lundy and kind of what he's done. He's done a great job. You know, obviously with Green Bay and what's going on there, obviously what's going on in Madison. So it's all on the upswing. There you go. How do you like
there
that?
There you go.
Oh, I did that. But I think the excitement energy is there. I'd love to see a tournament, but I think you and I might have to help kind of
make that
one happen.
Very good. So Road America starts their full schedule of racing this weekend with Vintage Festival weekend returning to Road America. So the 2024 season kicks off there. Obviously big plans at the Milwaukee Mile for this summer too. What do you see the impact of having Indy cars back in
the market? I think it's huge. Think about it. I remember kind of as a kid, there was always the race kind of after Memorial Day that they had in Milwaukee. And it was always a big deal at the Milwaukee Mile. It's just the oldest racetrack, you know, oldest track here in the country.
Yeah.
I think it's good. I think anytime you can have an economic impact, which a race is going to have, it's going to have a number of days. It's going to mean hotels. It's going to mean restaurants. It's going to mean the energy, kind of the drivers. So I'm glad they're back. I think, I also think it's kind of the use of that facility, right?
Right.
It's not going anywhere. It's sure nice to see it used through that weekend. But even more so, what it means is kind of to the region to have these big time drivers here.
Yeah.
In the area.
Yeah. Obviously, the first time the IndyCar has been in the Milwaukee market since 2015. Yeah. So the summer return will be Labor Day weekend, racing Friday through Sunday. So it's August 30th through September 1st. So a lot of action on the Milwaukee Mile track.
And I remember going to a couple of those races, and I'm not a big race fan, but I went out there for a couple of them because I was asked to come out and see them. And it was exciting to see all the fans. Yeah. They had some big crowds, 30,000, 40,000 people out there to watch those crowds. Even more so, they're spending money there and in the neighborhoods.
Well, and you look at the winners in the past, too. Yeah. I mean, no matter race fan or not, people remember Michael Andretti had 5 wins in Milwaukee. Bobby Unser had 4 wins. Mario Andretti, A.J. Foyt, Gordon Johncock, Johnny Rutherford. Those are big names in a spot. Now that's been taken over by Will Power and Scott Dixon. These are celebrities.
Celebrities, big names. And you know what you always hear them say is how much they love the track in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
How much that track, which is great. It's just great to see it used. And I mean, I give all the credit to all the people out of State Fair and with IndyCar who've worked really hard on this to bring it back. Because it's another reason to come to Milwaukee in the summer. Think about the summer we're going to have, Jeff.
Yeah.
It's going to be an amazing summer with the RNC, with Summerfest, with Harley Fest, with State Fair, and then you end it with an IndyCar race.
That's right.
I mean, it's pretty much, we're not going to spend any time at home this summer.
That's right. It's beautiful. And you know what? We're going to get the Brewers continuing winning, and we're going to have a big playoff run for the Brewers.
Playoff run at the end, and it's just all great for the region. Anytime sports teams have success, it's great for the region.
Very good. Mark Cass, I appreciate your time. Taking time out of your day to join us to talk about the business of sports. We'll do it again soon.